Chapter 4. With time to kill, I went back to my apartment on St. Anne and Royal Street in the French Quarter. The Arms was a courtyard of bungalows and rooms. The French landlord of the establishment was generous enough to allow me to rent there when most would not have. In return, offered my services to him whenever he needed them, which he did now and then. The last time involved me tracking an ex-tenant who, upon eviction, destroyed his room right down to the plumbing. I tracked him to a dive he cooped up at out in Baton Rouge. Through the use of blunt force more than diplomacy, I rolled him for the cost of the damages. Things were shaky when I first moved in. Several longtime tenants packed up their belongings and left, and one went as far as threatening the landlord with murder if he didn't have me evicted. The landlord evicted him instead, and took advantage of the city's notoriously lax adherence to segregation laws, and started renting the rooms out to well-off colored Creoles as well. It turned out to be more profitable for him, since many Creoles were willing to pay good money to live above what Jim Crow would allow. There were a lot of wealthy colors in New Orleans. In slave times, the city was one of the few that had slaves doing skilled jobs, and was also home of the most free blacks in the country. After the emancipation, many of the skilled coloreds prospered, doing jobs ranging from carpenters to newspaper editors. It continued now because of the city's more lax view on segregation. Inside my flat, I showered and ate an early dinner of leftover steak and potatoes that I'd fixed up the previous evening. I cleared the slob off my plate fast and checked my watch. It was past 6. I decided to call Brawley at his home. Brawley was a detective sergeant who had first worked in commercial crimes before being bumped up to the vice unit after success in lending his aid during the 29 streetcar strike that resulted in a series of dynamite bombings, shootings, and assaults. In that division, he took part in the grandstanding campaign to rid the city of illegal gambling, prostitution, and drugs. I'd worked hard to get Brawley on my side. We weren't exactly friends, but we both knew we could help each other out. He granted me support, which was fundamental to the work I did. I never would have lasted this long without it. In return, I provided him with information from the color community that most cops would be hard-pressed to get, doing pro bono jobs for fellow coloreds who didn't have a lot of money.